converse in mystic, ethereal ballet. Ideas and stories, hopes and dreams they share, with intuition as their guiding cosmic flair. In morning's embrace, their dialogues unfurl, metaphysical whispers, a new day's pearl. In these whispered tones, they contemplate the night, where truth and wonder take their graceful flight. For in their words, a resonance may swell, as conversation's magic casts its spell. Welcome to Carolyn and Jay's Metaphysical Conversations. Good morning. We are Carolyn and Jay here with Metaphysical Conversations, and it's Monday, the 20th day of May, and it's also 20 weeks into the 52 weeks of the year, 2024. Let's see, we'll be giving out a contact phone number just after we say hello to Jay, the belated birthday guy. His birthday was on Sunday. Hi, Jay, or Saturday, sorry.
Hi, Carolyn. How are you doing today?
Birthday to you.
Thank you. Thank you. I'm so excited for another time around the sun.
Yeah, so. It's kind of like a birthday month for you, right? It's your birthday month.
I do kind of look at it like a birthday month. It's a whole thing, but it does culminate on the 18th for me anyways. Okay. And so, yes, I just had my birthday Saturday and I had a lot of fun.
Good job. Yeah. Well, we're going to be taking calls today from 7:15 to 7:35 Pacific. If you want to call in and join our conversation or ask an in-depth question for a reading, you're welcome to do that. We'd love to have you call in. The number is 857-232-0155. The number again is 857-232-0155. And then you have to put in the extension number 870-303, 870-303. So we hope we hope to connect with you. And Jay, if they want to write something out in the chat,
you would head on over to 12radio.com, and then there's a chat button there on the left-hand side of the screen. Click on the chat button. That opens up a private Facebook group with the same name, 12radio. Go ahead and send over an invitation. We will get you approved while we're live on the air. Once you are, you will see our banner at the top of the page, Metaphysical Conversations. You'll also see that phone number that Carolyn mentioned earlier in fine print. And it gives you a chance to put your comments and join the conversation in the comment section. So we do hope that you do that.
Yeah, well, today we've decided to talk about near-death experiences. So some of you guys have probably maybe even had one, but it'll be interesting to see what we can touch on and what we might experience when we have one. And Jay, you were saying that you've had one.
Yes, I did have a near-death experience on my way in during my birth. My mom had me 6 weeks earlier or so, and she had gone into a jacuzzi and didn't know that that wasn't, you know, that you weren't supposed to do that. And that put her into labor when she did. And it was a distressed labor. She was in Palm Springs, actually, at the time, with a friend, and they decided that they needed to get back to LA. By the time they got back to LA, my mom was bleeding, so they took her to the hospital, and she did almost lose me, but they were able to get me out and keep me alive. And in the process, though, she did almost die too, a couple times, both from the actual birth and then also from an infection. And for me, it was on the way out, and I don't know the specifics because I was, you know, being born, and I have in a meditation gone back to my birth, but not in a conscious way that I can remember specifically that part. But what I do know in my research is I feel like the veils of illusion, if I can call them that, that come down over all of us when we're born to have this earthly experience, not all of them came down for me. I believe, and this is only my own best guessed estimate is that something in that near-death experience shifted me, changed me, kept me connected to source in a way that I think we all are, but we don't, like, something about our mental, those veils, something about that cuts us off, makes us feel disconnected. And I don't feel like all that came down over me the way it seems to come down over everyone else. So that was my experience, at least what I was left with, in the sense of, for the rest of my life, I do feel like something shifted way back then, and it has allowed me to have some of the abilities that I have, that I've had with me my whole life. I've had to work at them and practice and fine tune them, but I've always been able to see the other side. I've always seen energy and felt the other side in ways that other people just don't seem to. And so that was my own personal experience with an NDE.
Okay, so you didn't actually remember it, but you kind of went into meditation over it to really work on kind of feeling what it must have been like. Is that what you're?
Well, it was, I didn't even have that till more recently. It was just something that I put together while reading about other people's experience, and more specifically about people's experience when they're coming in at birth. And then it was like, it like dawned on me, like, oh, I didn't even realize that that's what it, like, what was different. But it helped me understand what was different about me in a certain kind of way, and why I'm able to do some of the stuff that I'm able to do.
Because you do heighten senses. So from near-death experiences, you get, that is something that maybe is the reason that that you're able to have some of your psychic abilities. So that's an interesting way of getting them.
Yeah.
You know, you can learn them, but it's an interesting way of getting them. And I'm wondering too, because I know that one of the things that you also experience when you're getting into a near-death experience is you have a sense of detachment. You're feeling separated from your physical body, right?
Yes.
And it's often described as an out-of-body experience, right?
Absolutely. It's almost like they're observing themselves, but they don't know that they're themselves. They're just watching somebody. They seemingly watch like somebody else have the experience, even though it's them.
Yeah. But you also have as you're detaching, I guess you also have a sense of calmness and peace comes over you. It's profound. Have you heard that? You have a lack of pain, no distress of a physical body.
Well, and I feel like that's the common experience where they have their consciousness from like a, they can think and they can observe, but they, like you said, they don't have their attachment to their body and that focal point anymore that makes them, you know, attached as, you know, Jane or Jack. And so, yeah, I think that's a very unique experience. And it's always interesting how people explain what they saw on the other side and then how they are able to relate it back once they get back, you know, in their physical life. And then they become connected again to that focal point that is them, and how that then kind of like hits them like a ton of bricks. What just happened?
Yeah, I mean, it would be pretty trippy. One of the other things that can happen too is you can have that tunnel experience where you're traveling through the dark tunnel with a light at the end.
I mean,
you can't get that far. So it would be like the wormhole to Nirvana there.
Go ahead. I was going to say also people do encounter the light, and they do encounter it as like a God force, but not necessarily ever seeing it, but telepathically being able to hear it or feel what it wants to say.
Yeah, it's like a warm and loving light. It doesn't hurt your eyes, I've heard. So,
yes.
So it's very bright and just really very warming and loving. So, you know, the other thing is too, is life review. There's a life review that kind of happens if you go really far into this and you encounter a bright and warm and loving light And also you also go into this kind of panoramic review of your life. But I've heard that the life review, it isn't judgmental. It is just something that you look back on and you look at you focus on the moral and emotional aspects of what's going on with it, with you and what where you've been and each portion of it. So that's good. I mean, it's no reason to start to go out and steal from a grocery store because you're not going to get judged. But at the same time, it feels like it's what we're looking at there is like a place where you go where you're not going to be where you're not going to be busted, you know?
No, it's not about the gotcha,
Yeah.
from what I can
Yeah.
tell. Even people that I see go through a life experience at the end of their life, like somebody that's in their older di and the older years and leaving and going through that life review, it isn't it doesn't seem judgy. It's more definitely from like bringing in a certain kind of understanding that wasn't there before, or bringing another part of the whole piece of the puzzle that wasn't there before that can bring in aha moments and understanding about why we did or didn't do certain things in life. But yes, exactly. Not from a God upstairs, with a clipboard going through and evaluating us from 1 to 10 on everything that we did.
Yeah, but it would. But if you brought that back into your life and you looked at all the, kind of crappy things that you've done, it would. I mean, that would change me for sure. I would definitely say, "Oh my God, that was noticed." And I noticed it now. I really noticed what I did. So I really want to change my life around because I saw that. It was disturbing, really disturbing, right? When you see the things that you didn't like it or how it was you were made somebody else react to it. So,
Well, especially
yeah.
let's say you're not empathic like us, where you can pick up people's feelings, and so you don't know how you might have hurt someone, and then you realize, oh, how you actually did, it really comes to you. That definitely can be a revelation for people.
Yeah, well, good gravy though. I guess when you're at that life review, you've got all of your abilities there. So you're gonna get it right away. Encountering beings is the other thing. You see like sometimes a spiritual being or even deceased loved ones, right?
Yes, both, yeah, and like the beings of light as well as like ancestors, our ancestors.
Religious figure, yeah. So, it's oh wow, and yet can you imagine it's like probably you're just saying into just no other words other than being there being in the moment. You've probably never been so much in the moment, right? Because this is like eye feeling, it's like wild and really takes all of your attention. So, that's another way of looking at how do you stay in the moment. What would it be like if you were going through that and all of a sudden you were seeing, spiritual beings and would you want to be any place else other than right there?
I don't think I honestly don't think people even consider wanting to be out of that experience when they're in that experience. What I hear people talk about a lot is wanting to stay, not wanting to come back here, because it feels
Yeah.
so amazing and they feel so loved, so cared for, so connected, to this thing called God. Than ever before, and that makes people want to stay.
If you want to join a conversation today, you can call us in. You can call us in at 857-232-0155. The number again is 857-232-0155, and that's extension 870-303. The extension number is 870-303. Or if you'd like to ask a question for Jane, just let me know why you're with us. But we'd love to have you join.
So you can also head over to the chat, like Tara. Tara says good morning. Good morning, Tara. We're so grateful that you're here with us. Quelly is also joining us. She says grand rising. Carolyn and Jay, happy Monday. Thank you for joining
Happy.
us, Quelly. It's great to see you here this morning. And Lioness is here too. She says happy Monday, Carolyn and Jay. We really appreciate you all being here this morning. And What do you have to add to the conversation? Do you know anyone that's had an NDE? Have you yourself had an NDE? We want to hear about it. Please put your story or your situation in the comments if you'd like to share, and we'll share it on the air.
Yeah, another thing that that I've heard that really happens too is that you can have communication without words. So you have
Yes,
tap.
it's all telepathic. Yes.
So where thoughts are exchanged without speaking, and you're just in the know of what everything is of what's going on, and communicating. It's just that would be considered another language, right? Another way of expression.
Well, it's
But
almost
we.
like it's beyond language. Like somehow everyone is like plugged into a universal language decoder that all you have to do is just communicate and somehow it happens. Like we don't have to think about it like we do here, where we're putting our sentences together and deciding what words we're going to choose and all that goes into our spoken language here on Earth.
I wonder too. It's probably very. I'm sure that every one of us who's listening too is the sense sometimes that you know exactly what your friend was thinking at the same time, and you just laugh because it's like, okay, you were both thinking the same exact thing, right?
Right.
So that's another like little tidbit a bit, I guess, of what it would be like, except where you can actually continue with the whole conversation without opening the mouth. So yeah, so that's
I know
pretty
you've already
powerful.
talked about this one, but the whole idea of the decision to return and how difficult that is. 'Cause even though it's interesting when I've heard people talk about their stories in the moment, while they're in the moment, they don't care about coming back. Oftentimes they're much more concerned about staying, but then they have some sort of communication with God or an angel or with one of their ancestors, letting them know that it's not their time and that they are going to go back. And then oftentimes it's like almost like someone snaps their fingers and then they're back in their physical body. And, back dealing with whatever has happened to them and then having to come back out of it. But they have this now memory of where they were while they were away.
Yeah, which is like another thing that when you were away too, you have a just the all knowing sense of knowledge. You go into this profound knowledge or understanding of the universe or life purposes, right? So you get to really plug in to everything you've always wanted to know, and so that's a lot to be want to be bringing back in. And boy, would that help so many of us too, I think, on our daily how we really hit the world, hit the road on our everyday
Well, think of
doings.
it like I think I feel for myself, excuse me, for many of the people that I talk to who haven't quote found excuse me, I'm losing my voice, who have not found their purpose, have not found their quote way, and oftentimes having that experience, they come back having that, they're connected with their purpose. They have a different kind of knowing about what they're supposed to do. And if everybody did have that would make it different. If that wasn't something you had to figure out, but something that you just knew more readily, it was just more in your face. I think it would be and is very different for those people that have that experience versus the people that don't.
It would be very profound, wouldn't it? I mean, when especially if you were at a loss for what your purpose was, and then all of a sudden you see how simple it was, just by having it all in front of you. And it's like then you can grab it all and like stuff it into your back pocket if you decide to go back, right? And
Totally.
take on the world in a different way. The other thing that I've heard too is that if you go too far, it's like there's that you encounter a barrier, a border, perceived as the point of no return. So I guess that if you go into that area that you will not be going back. I've heard that too. Have you heard anything about that?
I have. It is interesting to hear people talk and their stories about that part of the process. The people that want to stay, also the people that for some reason are still, they still know they want to come back. Or it's interesting to hear how people describe it because it's almost like when they're having this review or these first communications, they're not trying to come back, but then something kind of comes on to them where they're like, oh yeah, I need to go back. Like somehow they become aware of their own life, their own body again somehow. So
Yeah,
I
and
think a
very
lot of
well could,
missed. Go ahead.
it very well could be that they were instructed, or they're just making a conscious choice. Yeah, I've got to get this, and this completed, or something,
Well, and it
I
just,
suppose.
what I get from it too is like it's far more mystical of an experience and unique for each person because it does feel like they're tailor-made. Even though there's like similarities to the stories, they do seem to be very tailor-made to the individual and like what that individual needs to hear, what that individual needs to know, and before they come back. And so I think that there's something very magical and mysterious about that. And just as consciousness to me is very magical and mysterious about how it works in our awaking life, I feel like there is also the mysterious part of it that happen, you know, that is happening in that part of consciousness when we are out of our body. So I find it fascinating. And one part we haven't talked about yet is the sense of when people come back with enhanced senses, whether they know a language they didn't know before, or suddenly they can play the piano and they've never played a key, or they have a psychic sense that they've never had before. So those things can get turned on rather suddenly and abruptly for people in these situations.
Yeah, I've heard stories, but unless you really experience it, it's really difficult to, that some people even come back with knowing another language. But I've never, I've just.
I know, I agree. It's hard. I don't know anyone personally that's had that. If that would be something if you did, because it would just make it that much more real.
Yeah. But even when you're out there too, the other thing that is totally lost is the perception of time. You
Wait,
know,
say that
you have
one more time.
the perception of time is gone. You
Oh, yeah.
it like
Yep.
time stops. Or you have it loses its meaning altogether, the sense of time. So, boy, wouldn't that be interesting to lose the sense of how fast something was going or how slow something was going and just, but I guess it comes back to being there. Like what we were saying at the top of this discussion was, which is because of all the visuals in front of you or the senses of what's in front of you. There's no other place that you can even focus on. It's just so unbelievably awesome. So maybe if our lives were unbelievably awesome too, in every way, maybe we wouldn't have a sense of time.
Well, it's true, but it seems to me that in that realm, there is a sense of there is no time, and that time and how we perceive it here is unique. That there it's unique to this reality, anyways, and at least the way that we perceive this flow of time. I think there are other realities with other paces of time that those entities or people, whatever you want to call them, are having. Over in another reality, this just happens to be the setup of this one, and I just think that that's incredible too, that this realm, this universe, and all the different parallel realities, it's just to kind of those kinds of things when I start thinking in those big ways, that kind of stuff boggles my mind and also reminds me of how magical this universe is that something, call it God, call it source, but something is like over all this. I don't know if it's controlling it or set it in motion, but something beyond us has created this. And I feel like we get to see some of the nuts and bolts, like when we get to hear about some of these experiences, even though that doesn't tell us the whole story and it sometimes leads to more questions. I do think it's an incredible kind of window into the other side and also just sort of the mechanisms of the universe.
You know, another thing is too, if you are seeing maybe a person who's passed, it was you were very close to and had a hard time with the loss. You know, imagine what it would be like if you could see how full of life, literally, that your relative is, or that your friend is, and how you would have a sense of it being okay once you come back.
So Tara, she has a comment and she says, I had an NDE when I was 3 and spoke to God. My stepdad had multiple NDE experiences as well. So that's incredible. And Tara, I'm curious if you can attribute any of your abilities as far as your psychic, intuitive, extrasensory abilities to coming online. During that experience, I know 3 is young, 2, just like even my being at birth is even younger, but 3 is also very young to remember. Do you remember that experience still, as far as the details, or are
Yeah,
you
and I
like
don't.
me putting it together as you kind of remember as an adult?
I'd also like to know too, what was your conversation with God?
Right. Same.
Yeah. So I mean, it'd be interesting to hear that. So, yeah. I mean, it would be. There's not even a word for it. It'd be phenomenal to do it. But again, one of the reasons you'd be doing it though is maybe because something happened to you that would be terrifying on Earth. You know, maybe why what would send you into that place? You know, would it be a car accident or something like that? So then you deal with the part that coming back into your body if you've had a temporary leave of body. And then coming back into probably some pain when you come back in, right? And having to be in that body again. But
Well,
coming back with all of this beauty and knowledge and kind of safety because of what you know is at the end, right?
totally. Well, and I know that that helps a lot of people because, from what I can tell in a lot of the stories, especially for the people that had like a traumatic accident that was a part of this experience, that whatever they are having to heal from and go through physically. Sometimes I hear of stories where people had miraculous healing experiences, but most of the time they're just prepped for what they're going to have to experience when they come back, and they still have to heal, you know. But part of the healing happens and is spurred on because they had this experience that they can hold on to, and that helps them through, you know. So it doesn't necessarily erase the hard part of the healing and the recovery, but it can give the people something to hold on to, and if you know they really are attached to their vision of their purpose in a way that they weren't before, those kind of things can, you know, propel us in a way that we weren't feeling propelled before in our life. So it can be a pretty incredible experience, even though whatever that person is facing may still be very hard. It does seem to give people a way to get through it, like the impetus to
Right.
get through it.
So you'd be experiencing when you're there, you'd be experiencing like feelings of love and joy, overwhelming feelings of love and joy, unconditional love and joy, and really know what that means. So now you can bring it back in and say, oh my God, I'm in this relationship and it is not it is not no, but you would look at something different possibly once you come back in. That you've had that knowledge now of seeing it and really understanding it from an actual, an actual experience. So there's so many things you can bring back.
Well, to
It's
your
be,
point, that
yeah.
it's so true because I heard that a lot in people's stories. They did not know what unconditional love was because they'd never felt it before in this reality, and they did in that, and it did open them up in a certain kind of way because they experienced something that they had never experienced before, and it was so powerful for them that it did change their life. So that is an incredible part.
Well, act like, and you've been through all of that. Can you imagine not wanting to change the way you love, or, you know, not wanting to increase your love? Because it's like, man, I mean, I would want something so exacting to that it would be, you probably every part of your body would probably just want to go at things a lot differently and with more determination to be the best person you can be, I would think.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it would be a spiritual transformation is really what it boils down to. So you know, and people do report that there's been a significant change in their lives and their values and their outlook in life, often becoming more spiritual, which is brings it to your point too. You probably have some psychic abilities that you can start to work with also, or are really expected to work with, because you've been there, you've done that, and now you have a really cool t-shirt to show off and to share so that others can kind of get the vibe of what it should be.
I think that all of this is incredible, like how it works and how there's all these like sort of fail safes and mechanisms to this reality. And that, you know, oftentimes when there's a death or an experience, it is very final and finite. And that's what I think makes it so hard. And so then there's this experience where it's someone seemingly has, you know, is dead and then they come back. It really is a thing. There's something to all this. So it's really cool to be talking about it. And I also wanted to mention here, Tara commented on her comment. She says, I don't know, or I'd like to know too, it's certainly been a lifetime of trying to figure out that experience. Not sure if it triggered it, but have had many experiences since. I hear you. It's hard to know. I mean, I pieced my experience together through reading about other people's experiences, and then it dawned on me like what had happened to me. But at the same time, I feel like there's that experience, having that at birth, and then there, especially when we're younger, little kids, versus having it as like a 20-something or a 30-something year adult, or even like somebody in their 50s. I think that all of that plays into it, because there still is life experience, and then there still is then what would happen in that life review. And someone in their 50s is going to have a lot more of a life review than someone that's, you know, just being born or three. And so I think that all those are interesting factors that come into play with people's experiences.
What was the movie that I really loved? It was it was about this woman who dies, and also a man, and they meet there, and they're going to have their life review. Shirley MacLaine is in it.
Is it Heaven Can Wait?
Nope. It's they go for a life review, and she's got all these wonderful things to, you know, to see, and everybody is, you know, like she gets to see her life, and she goes in and saves a baby from a burning house, right? and he has nothing close to it. I mean, he's supposed to go to another location on a tram, you know, because his life review wasn't so good. This is where the judgment thing comes in. But the day comes, and they become, you know, in between, kind of become lovers, you know, in this place of life review, and then at the BART station, he's supposed to get on the train to go to another spot than her, and so he derails himself from his station, and he starts to run towards her bus and grabs on, and they allow him in. So it's like, you know, and it reminds me too, I mean, I love that movie because that was very inventive. You know, I don't like the idea that, you know, you don't get to go where you want to go, but he did in the end. You know, he was able to go where he wanted to go because he believed he could. But that also too it boils down to wasting our time on Earth And when you see somebody like, you know, that really can really shoot for the moon with doing everything they can possibly do to make their life so good, and it's like a lot of star ability, you know, that you know, you see in some of these people that just really push it and really make their life extremely outrageously fun, and they, or looks to be anyway, that's what we should all be doing, you know, is really running for the best thing that we can run for. And you know, so there's just so many, whether it be when you're dead or when you be when you're alive. So, but maybe that's one of the things we bring back, is the ability to take away some of these things that slow us down sometimes, after going, you know, instead of going after what we really want, what we truly would love to have, and are afraid to go for it. There's some sort of fear thing going on. Of, you know, you don't deserve it, or if you go for it and fail, or something like that. So I guess I'm just saying that, you know, it probably really helps us when we have something like this, but we can also learn through metaphor of others too, to really take it and really empower ourselves with moving forward with huge strides in the directions we really want to be.
Right. Well, to your point, I don't think we have to have an experience like this to learn from it, or to glean some of the wisdom or understanding that someone might have through having that experience. Because it is, I mean, oftentimes many of these experiences are very traumatic. So there is something very extreme about them. So even though something extreme may come of it, it's also an extreme situation for people to go through. And I think that that's the awesome part about being a part of this human family, is if we are willing to listen to each other and to hear each other's stories and to be more observant and curious, I do think we can learn so much from one another. And we all don't have to then have some of these extreme or challenging experiences if we can learn from each other and pay attention. But oftentimes we, you know, get very into our life and we don't have that ability to pay attention because we're so busy or so distracted. And then a situation like this comes and makes you see or makes you understand. So I think that's also interesting to me. I wouldn't say, well, I don't know what I would say about that. Like whether God makes sure, you know, keeps us on track. And this is one of the ways this thing called God can keep us on track. You know, I don't know if it's that, you know, that thought out like that, or if it's more like, this is all very much the mechanics of the universe. And this is just one of the many things that can happen to us, as a human, as a conscious human, on this planet. And it's, you know, more of like, just part of it, you know, just part of the experience.
No, it's like either you've had the experience because you needed a bash on the head to remember who you are, to really to move forward better, or you needed the bash on the head in order to remember that to know about it, so that maybe you could bring it to others and teach it. I mean, it's because we're all here to help each other, as Ram Dass says. I love that. You know, we're here to walk each other home. And, you know, but the other thing that you can get too is your fear of death is diminished. I have a friend that is, he's a pretty well-known artist, and he's been through so many things. Like, he loved heroin at one point, you know, he on one of his birthdays, we were talking and he said, "Carolyn, I'm not afraid of death." He says, "I've been there." So, you know, your fear of death is just, it's dropped. It's, I mean, can you imagine? I mean, it's just such a, when my sister was dying, you know, she was saying, you know, I'm afraid. I'm afraid that I'm not going to be loved, or I'm not going to be accepted, you know, and, you know, so that fear would have been gone had she had any kind of really phenomenal experiences like this before she had started to go. She was already starting to see people who had passed and telling me about who she was seeing. But imagine. Mm-hmm. Oh, and she saw spiders. She says, "I'm seeing spiders," and she goes, "But it's not scary."
Interesting. Well, and I know from my grandfather, when he was crossing, like before he crossed over, but he was on his deathbed, he had a vision of my grandmother, his wife in life. And he was afraid, I think, because things when she passed weren't great between them. And he was afraid to die. I think he was more afraid to see my grandma and have to face her than he was to face Jesus. And he was a devout Christian. And I thought that was fascinating. But when he had a vision of her, she came to him and she was wearing all white and she was young looking. And she didn't say anything, but she just gave him the, like, he just felt, anyways, pure peace, pure calm, and pure love. And that everything was okay. And that she didn't have any of those things that he thought she was going to have. That wasn't where she was at. And after that experience, it wasn't too long after that that he was able to go. So I think that, yes, we don't know what people are afraid of or what gets us all like excited in a good way or excited in a bad way. And death has a way of bringing it all out. And I think that people that do have that experience of their life review while they're in life, it is interesting to me to see and hear those stories, because I hear it all the time where, people see their dead aunt, or the family's dead uncle is that person seeing, like, that they're saying, make room on the bed for them because they're here. And everyone's like, they are because they're not really here anymore, but that person is seeing them. So there are some interesting things that happen in that life review when people are still alive while they're having it.
Yeah, but if you haven't had your life review from this kind of thing, I mean, have your own life review, review your life, and go on, maybe go on to YouTube and Google up stories from other people who've had NDEs, because it does to me, it really will give you a sense of not to be afraid of death, because there's something there. There's going to be something there, and if there isn't, right? If there isn't, what?
So
But
Mark,
go
oh sorry.
ahead.
Mark was joining us in the comments. He says defending your life.
Well, that's
It was about 6 minutes ago, so I don't know exactly how that comment related.
it's the movie
But
I was talking. That's the
so
movie I was defending your
oh,
life.
defending your life. Ah, thank you. That makes sense. That's the movie, Defending Your Life. Ah, got it. Thank you for that, Carolyn, putting that together. Thank you, Mark, for telling us the movie. I tried to look it up, but it didn't come up. So thank you for finding that.
So it really is. I mean, this is something we don't have to wait to happen to us. We can study others who have done it. It's just like if you want to learn about something, study those who have either done it or had the experience of it, or that help you, make you feel safe in order to review your own life and to pick yourself up and make yourself even better than you can possibly even, make yourself better, make yourself the can be. So, it helps.
Yes. Thank you, Mark, for that title. Mark Husson's coming up next too, after our show, with his big show called the Mark Husson's Astrology Hour. Getting into the astrology. I know he's got some good things to talk about that are happening in the cosmos to give us the clue on what's up. And Shell Bell is also joining us. Hi, Shell Bell. She says, "Hey guys, thank you for tuning in with us this morning." Anyone else have any near-death experiences that they want to share? Please put it in the comments. Let us know, and we'll share it on the air. But I think it's a pretty incredible experience, and I think it's awesome with the internet and YouTube and other social media sites where people can share their stories more readily, and really getting to hear all these people that have had these stories. It's awesome, because I think there's something to the sharing. There's something to being able to hear other people's experience. And like anything, some of them are a little bit more outlandish seeming than others. Use your intuition, when you're listening. And I like to just listen too with whatever story I'm hearing or listening to. I want to listen and hear what they're saying, but I also am listening with my intuition of, like, what else is my intuition telling me about it? Like, and I just feel like that can be like a sweet spot for us to learn and to be able to get some of it coming in as like applied wisdom. or applied knowledge.
Yeah. Well, let's see. One of the things we can do too is also another way of kind of tuning into an NDE would maybe even get somebody to do a past life regression for you and kind of have allow yourself to kind of leave your body, because it's the same thing. It's the same out on a limb. Shirley MacLaine was talking about when she was in the hot tub and all of a sudden she was out by the earth, right, floating up by the earth. So that was her first out of body experience. So, but something like a even a past life regression can kind of give your mind a sense of leaving from where you are and kind of experiencing another alternate universe of possibly what where you've been before, or you know what you need to really get a hold of or understand. So they're I mean, they're a lovely way to really practice kind of you know trying to understand what it's like, or not being in the body that you're in now, right?
No, I agree. I think that is a great way to engage with this type of experience without actually having to have an accident. And it's also unique too, because it's not only are you looking at this life, but it can have you go into other lifetimes too, depending upon your practitioner and what you want to experience in your session. But it is an amazing way to go into that alternate reality and to be able to have a very real and unique experience. My facilitator, Patty, she's an incredible QHHT
What is that?
hypnotherapy.
What is QHHT?
QHHT is Dolores Cannon's method of walking people into their past life regression.
Okay.
And I've had that experience with her a few different times, and it's pretty incredible every time I've gone somewhere else to another life, to another reality, where I had a life and was able to bring it back and relate it to whatever I was experiencing in this life and how it related. So it's a pretty cool experience and very unique, even as a psychic intuitive. It's a very unique kind of experience to have.
Yeah, and the other thing, when I've given guided meditations before too, I've had them talk with their spiritual guides so that they can ask questions and that kind of thing. So that's another way of doing it too, via
Yes.
a
Yep.
guided meditation. And really, in a guided meditation, I hate the idea of saying, okay, I'm going to take them there and there and there and there. I allow them to I inquire on where they want to, on where they're going or what they see, and then allow kind of like. Let the meditation kind of take its turn from where the person would like to travel or understand or see. So what's behind door number three? What do you see behind door number three, right? Where what kind of a what is the environment like, and do you see a guide coming? And then I allow them to sit and talk with the guide, and what is the guide saying? And then I have usually have the guide give them a gift at the end, and what does that represent? And you always thank the guide at the end. So that's another way of doing it too. And because what we do when we have an NDE apparently is we see often spiritual people or spiritual guides or you know religious people. So the idea here is to allow yourself to have that in a healthy state that you are at this point in your life through a guided meditation.
I love it. Yeah, no traumatic physical experience needed.
Right, yeah. So, well, I guess that's about it for today, huh? Is there anything else you'd like to talk about?
And
Or
it
do
is. I just looked at the time myself. It's time to start to wrap it up and close out our time together. I can't believe it.
Where can we find you this week?
You can find me over at 1tolisten.com. In the afternoons and the evenings. And if you don't happen to see me signed on, please don't hesitate to use the schedule an appointment button to let me know that you're looking for me and to schedule time. And also, you can find me on the radio on Wednesdays a couple times. I have my own show, The Psychic Playground, at 4 p.m. And then I have a show with my partner, Alan, called Ethereal Styles and Soulful Smiles at 8 p.m. Pacific. And then I join up with Raven. Pardon my voice today. I join up with Raven on Thursdays for Backstage Pass. So you'll want to check out our schedule over on 12radio.com for all of the details. How about you, Carolyn? How can they find you this week?
Oh, 12listen.com. And you know, I'm usually on every day from 6 until 4:30 Pacific time. And also with Jay, you can also get me on a scheduled call too if you don't see my light is on and in my chair. So give me a scheduled call and I'll get back to you. Well, I guess that's it. So Mark Husson is up next, and Christina LaFrance and Lori Love, as well as Jamie Dawn now, right after her. So we've got a lot scheduled for you. So stay tuned, and you have a wonderful week. Thanks.
And please come back next week. We'll have another brand new show. And bye for now, everybody.
Bye-bye.
In the morning's gentle light, we bid you all good night. Ideas, stories, hopes, and dreams took flight with Carolyn and Jay, conversations so bright in this cosmic realm where our stories ignite. Mornings embrace a new day's pearl. Their dialogues continue in this cosmic swirl. Thank you for joining with hearts full and swell in the mythical realm where our stories dwell.